German youth culture in the 1920s and early 1930s was ripe with rebelliousness, environmental mysticism, idealism, and no small amount of paganism, expressing attitudes that should be familiar to anyone who lived through the 1960s. They regarded family life as repressive and insincere, writes one historian. They believed sexuality in and out of marriage was shot through with hypocrisy, writes another. They too believed you couldn't trust anyone over 30 and despised the old materialistic order in all its manifestations. To them, parental religion was largely a sham, politics boastful and trivial, economics unscrupulous and deceitful, education stereotyped and lifeless, art trashy and sentimental, literature spurious and commercialized, drama tawdry and mechanical. Born of the middle class, the youth movement rejected, even loathed, middle-class liberalism. Their goal, writes John Toland, was to establish a youth culture for fighting the bourgeois trinity of school, home, and church. In cafes, they howled at the decadence of German society in cadences reminiscent of Allen Ginsberg. In the woods, they'd commune with nature, awaiting messages from the forest. A Führer, or popularly acclaimed leader, might read passages from Nietzsche or the poet Stefan George, who wrote, "The people and supreme wisdom yearn for the man, the deed." Perhaps someone who sat for years among your murderers and slept in your prisons will stand up and do the deed. These young people, Toland writes, thriving on mysticism and impelled by idealism, yearn for action, any kind of action. Even before the Nazis seized power, student radicals were eager to challenge the stodgy conservatism of German higher education, which cherished classically liberal academic freedom and the authority of scholars and teachers. A wave of Nietzschean pragmatism, Julian Bende's phrase, had swept across Europe, bringing with it a wind that blew away the stale dogmas of their parents' generation, revealing a new world to be seen with fresh eyes. The Nazis told young people that their enthusiasm shouldn't be restrained through academic study, rather it should be indulged through political action. The tradition of study for its own sake was thrown aside in the name of relevance. "Let us read no more of Jewish science and foreign abstractions," they cried. "Let us learn of Germans and war and what we can do for the nation." Intuition, which young people have in abundance, was more important than knowledge and experience, insisted the radicals. The youth loved how Hitler denounced the theorists. "Ink knights," he spat. What was required, according to Hitler, was a revolt against reason itself, for intellect has poisoned our people. Hitler rejoiced that he stole the hearts and minds of youth, transforming universities into incubators of activism for the fatherland.